Jeremiah 26. It's good to see everyone out. Just on a personal note, just love being with you all. So recharging to be here tonight. Such a rich blessing, and especially as we count down the days to welcome Indy into the world, God willing. We're so thankful for your prayers and just so many different supports that you've given us by God's hand. Jeremiah 26. Let's pick up there. 26 and verse 1. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command you to speak to them, do not diminish a word. Perhaps everyone will listen and turn from his evil way, that I may relent concerning the calamity which I purpose to bring on them because of evil of their doings. And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me, to walk in my law which I have set before you, to heed the words of my servants, the prophets whom I sent to you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not heeded, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it happened when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people seized him, saying, you will surely die. Well, how'd that go? Not great. Not very receptive. What was his point? What was his main point to the people? Repentance. Change. Change your ways. Be faithful to God. So that this calamity that God's going to judge you with won't happen. Turn. And as God says, perhaps they'll turn. Their prophets, the ones that they looked up to, were telling them none of that's going to happen. And they were saying peace, peace, when there really was no peace. There was no peace with God. So let me ask you tonight, why are we here? That's a really broad question. Why are we here tonight? Why are you here? Did you come to hear a message tonight, whether in the Bible class or here, a message like Jeremiah's? Did you come to hear a message of repentance? Did you come to get encouraged? I think what when people heard a message like Jeremiah's, I think that they would probably say the word from the Lord's not very encouraging. But actually, he was encouraging them to be faithful to the Lord. It was an encouraging message. Hebrews in the 10th chapter says this. You probably have heard this before, but I'm going to read it. Hebrews 10 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together. Let us stir up, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us stir up. Where? In the assemblies. What is this stirring up that we need to do here tonight? What is this, as your version might say, stimulate one another? What is that? What are we supposed to do tonight? You know that word's only used one other time in the whole New Testament. It's strange, but it's used in Acts 15 and verse 39. Now, that's when Paul and Barnabas have their disagreement about who they want to share the next missionary journey with. And what does the text say that happened between Paul and Barnabas? It says that there was a sharp disagreement, or a contention arose among them. Sharp disagreement or contention. So let me ask you again. That's the same word. Why are we here tonight? Why are we here? Did we come tonight to be sharply disagreed with? That's that same word. To be contended with, to be pricked, to challenge each other, to move each other to greater faith. Is that why we're here? To stir one another up, to contend with one another, to love and good works, to provoke each other to do that. Is that why we're here? Or did we just come to be agreed with? Did we just come to be told everything's okay? Now, I want you to balance it. I'm not saying that every single message that needs to happen is always a rebuke. I'm not saying that. But what is our attitude? What is our attitude when we are here assembled together to be stirred up? And let me say this as well. For those men who take the opportunity to speak to God's people, what a powerful opportunity that is and a huge responsibility. Am I crafting things from God's word to stir up my brethren? Or am I just like, oh, I like this little thing I read sometime and I'm just going to talk about it? Or am I thinking about how can I stir you up if I'm one of the men that is speaking God's word? You know, I was reminded of this truth recently, situation. It was at the end of our time in Delaware, and I preached a sermon at the end, close to the end, that I believe was the most challenging sermon I ever studied and worked on. And it was the most challenging sermon that I've ever preached. And it was hard. It was very hard. It was about dying to yourself. And I remember a brother, seasoned Christian, Bible class teacher, raised in a godly home, he called me afterwards and he said, "What are you trying to say? Are you trying to say we just need to quit everything we're doing and just read our Bibles all the time?" He was upset. And we had some words, whatever. Things worked out. But I preached that same exact sermon a few weeks ago in Kentucky. Small country church. There was an elderly woman there who came and met me at the door in tears. She's had a really hard time. Her husband's in a wheelchair. She's taking care of him. She is burdened by the curses of sin in this world. And she walks up to me, same exact sermon, hard sermon. And she, in tears, says, "You don't know how much that meant to me. I needed that sermon." What was the difference in those two people? One of them wanted to be stirred up. One of them wanted to be provoked to love and good works. Let us not be like God's people in Jeremiah's day, that we just want to be told everything's good and everything's okay, but that we want to hear even a message of repentance. So let me exhort you tonight. Keep reading in Jeremiah in 26th chapter in verse 12. Then, this is Jeremiah's response. Then Jeremiah spoke to all the princes and all the people, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city with all the words that you have heard. Now, therefore, amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent concerning the doom that he's pronounced against you. As for me, here I am in your hand. Do with me as seems good and proper to you." Wow. Wow. Jeremiah's 2 points. It was the Lord who sent me. It's not Jeremiah's words. It's the Lord. It wasn't me. And then the second point was, you know what? I've given everything. I've laid it all at the Lord's feet. So what are you going to do with my body? Here it is. Here I am. What about us tonight? Can we say that to the Lord? I think most of us would say, if somebody came in, they were lining us up, you know, in this cruel fantasy that somebody was lining us up and they were saying, "Okay, if you believe in Jesus," then they would shoot us. They put a gun to our head. I think most of us here would say, "I'd say yes, and you would die for the Lord." I believe that. But what about last night? What about Monday night? Where were you? Did I say, "Here I am," to someone who was lost? Just gave my night away, gave up my free time. Because what I have is the Lord's. Or did I say, "Here I am," to a brother or sister I know needs some encouragement? Here I am. And maybe those were busy nights. What about tomorrow night? What about Friday night? Do you have something planned? Do you have some intent that you're going to give yourself away? Our theme this year has been evangelism. We've been talking about proclaiming the light that He's given us, and He called us out of darkness. We talked about evangelism in my class, about laying our lives down. How are you doing with that? How are you doing with sharing the gospel? And I'm not talking about a skill. I'm just talking about, do you have one person? Do you have one person that you're regularly trying to reach? Just one. I hope I've stirred in you tonight to love and to good works. I hope that I've stirred in you to make plans if you haven't. This weekend, make plans to say, "Here I am," to whoever needs it. Do we as a church tonight, do we need to pray for anyone here? We're ready to do that. If there's an urgent need that you have, if we want to talk about it afterwards, whatever your need is, if you have been putting off to become a Christian and you know what you need to do to become a Christian, come now as we stand and sing.